All right, excellent. Well, as I mentioned, it's just wonderful to be together today, as it is every Sunday, and I'm so glad you're here. And we've been sharing a bit about what a local congregation is to be in the eyes of the Lord, and St. Francis in particular. And one of the things that we've been unpacking is that a local congregation is to be a sign and an instrument and a foretaste of the kingdom of God. And what we do together, how we do it, when we do it, all of these things point to that, that we're a sign of the day when Jesus will set all things right. Well, there'll be no more death or crying or mourning. And we are a foretaste of that in many ways, as well as an instrument of bringing that to people. And one of the things that we've been looking at, I could have gone on a little while with that, but I won't. One of the things we've been looking at about that is that each of us has been created by Jesus with a particular empowerment, you might say, a gift. And we've been looking at those gifts, and today we're going to look at the last one. We've looked at apostle, which is somebody who awakens dreams in other people and helps the discipleship culture of a church really get established. And we've looked at a prophetic type of person who really reveals things, like when the wind blows the cover off of something. And we've also looked at the evangelist who breaks barriers with the stories of the kingdom. And last week we looked at a pastor who is a grace connector, you might say, connecting people to each other as well as to God and all the grace that's within that. Today we're going to look at teacher, and that has to do with the person who connects everyone else, helps everyone else live into the story of Jesus so that you can be released into what God has asked you to do. That's a teacher. Which reminded me so much of that wonderful quote by W.B. Yeats. Some of you probably already know it. Education is not so much the filling of a pail as the lighting of a fire. And this is what Jesus wants to do with the gift of teaching, is light a fire which connects us to him, the fire that does not burn the bush as Moses saw, and the fire that keeps burning within us, that fire of the love of God that releases us into the world to do what he has asked us to do. All of this, these five weave together, and we're going to look at that in the weeks to come as we get through Holy Week and Easter and then after Easter. In fact, next week what we're going to look at is what Jesus did to make sure you got the gift he's giving you, that you become that person. He emptied himself. We'll look at that. We'll see what that's like. And then the next week, of course, is Easter. It's 2 weeks from today. And we'll be looking at the resurrection. And I'm going to describe it for you as the premier act of rebellion. See, some of you like that already. I saw your eyebrows go, yeah, now we're getting somewhere. So we're going to do that. And then after that, how all this weaves together, what we've looked at during Lent and then Holy Week and Easter, how that makes us, as well as St. Francis, as well as others in the community who don't know it yet, instruments of peace. All of that comes from the gifting, the emptying of Jesus, the rebellion of the resurrection into our lives today. And we'll just run with that for a little while after Easter. Today, however, teacher. We're going to look at teacher and what that is. And in the story of Lazarus, which was a long story, wasn't it? It was long. And there's an awful lot in there. The very last piece of that story where Jesus says to the people who are standing around, which for me is a symbol of a local congregation, unbind him and let him go. A teacher will connect you to the story so that you are free false beliefs, if you will, beliefs that don't get you anywhere, and released into what you're called to do, who you are meant to be. Some of you remember at our annual meeting in January, the direction we want to set for this year is you belong in a local congregation so that you can become who you were created to be. A teacher is the one at the doorway of that hinge, you might say, where you receive the teaching and there's some freedom that comes. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And from there, you walk as Lazarus, after the grave clothes came off, walked into the rest of his life. You walk into the life that Jesus has for you as you engage with teaching. And that's what we see in that last incident. The rest of the story we'll have to unpack later, probably forever. There's just so much in there. And you can see that in Jesus, in what he does. You know, he's got his closest friends there, other than the 12, who got on his nerves occasionally. But there's Mary and Martha and Lazarus, just his closest friends. And right away, Jesus starts doing what we've come to expect of him, behavior that is just weird, strange things that he did. You know, he gets word that his good friend Lazarus has died, and he does nothing. I mean, you and I, we'd have canceled everything, packed quickly, and gone right away. And Jesus, once again, proves that he could not be elected to any church office at all. And, you know, it says it took him 2 days to get there. What he did the rest of the time, when he got word Lazarus was sick, by the time he got there, he'd been dead 4 days. Well, okay, so I mean, there's strange behavior on Jesus' part, and then of course he has that argument at the graveside with the family of the deceased. Another deeply empathetic pastoral action on his part. So, but think about those things later. What I want to get to here is what happened when he said, unbind him and let him go. You know, they probably let him slide on all that bad behavior when Lazarus came back from the dead, comes out of the tomb. And then we see what the rest of the church, if you will, the rest of the followers of Jesus do. Unbind him and let him go. Now, there are three dynamics in that I want to unpack for you just briefly, and that is the essence of teaching, that the teachers that Jesus gives to the church bring these three things, generally speaking: information, imitation, and innovation. That's what happens with that. Now, other places where teaching goes on, schools, for example, that's always, seeing all three of those two is also excellent. What we look at in the church is that there are teachers who release those three things because they were created that way by Jesus. So the first one is information. And information is what most of us think about when we think about teaching. It's where there's something you don't know and somebody tells you what you don't know and now you know it. Always helpful. But that's as far as it goes. You just hear, okay, now I know that. A lot of the questions, a good number of the questions that I receive, at the door, not in this church, of course, but other churches I've been at the door on the way out and other places, because people know I'm a pastor, they want to know, well, what about this? You know, why were there 12 apostles or something like that? And I, just between you and me, I know this will be on the MP3, but just between you and me, I just make something up. And they say, oh, now I know. All righty. Okay. So It's just it reminds some of you are most of us are old enough to remember Johnny Carson on the Tonight Show, and he'd say something, and Ed McMahon would say, "I did not know that." That's what that reminds me of. And the reason that that's funny is because Ed McMahon wasn't going to change one thing about himself with that information. Information by itself is not transformative. And that's what Jesus is aiming for, the transformation of our lives to be like him. And teaching is it goes into that. Now what happens is you still need the information, and it goes deeper into your heart and your soul, goes into places where it hasn't touched before, and you get that way by imitation. And imitating the teacher, the one who is transmitting the information, you might say, is how that begins to happen, and the transformation starts to take place. And it's what Jesus wants of all of us to be living. So living lives so that we are imitated by other people. I was giving you a minute to opt out there if you wanted to do that. Imitate me, no way. The idea is this. Imitation transfers, imparts into someone what you are doing to the degree that they can do it on their own and perhaps even go beyond what you do. Imitation, in other words, is standing on the shoulders of the one who is walking with you through something. It's different from mimicking, which is usually what we react to. To mimic someone is to do what they do without any intention at all of changing your life. Imitating someone is to do what they do with every intention of continuing to do what they do to the degree where you do it on your own. You do it the way that you would do it. That's imitation. That is throughout the scriptures. Paul says, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." See, there's the goal. By imitating others who are imitating Christ, you become like Christ. You belong so that you become. That is part of the culture, of course, of most of the history of the Bible, as we see it, where someone would become an apprentice, perhaps of their father or someone else. They take on the family business, and they would work with the father, grow up in that shop or whatever the business may have been, doing what the father did, and then someday the father puts it down, dies, whatever, and that person, that son, usually, would take it on and go further and even increase that particular business. That is the mindset of the ministry of the New Testament, where you and I are imitated by other people to the degree that they can go further and take it further, take it to places we would never go. Okay. Information, imitation, then innovation. Innovation is what I've been hinting at here, and it's where Jesus wants to take us in this ministry of teaching. When he gives us teachers, the aim of the teacher is to take all of us to innovation, which is doing it the way Jesus would have us do it, is beyond the imitation of someone else. Innovation means that you have come to a place where you recognize and fully embrace who you are and receive other things of Jesus through other people and are able to do them the way that you would do them. What am I talking about is the look on your faces. So let me try to explain that a little better. As we have seen, there are some of us who are apostles, if you will, starting new things. setting a discipleship culture, awakening other people's dreams. That's what we do. And let's say you are in a group with that person who's leading that, and you are a pastor. You have a pastoral gifting. What you do is you start learning some things from that person who's apostolic. Then you begin imitating that person who is apostolic. And then when you move on to innovating what you have learned and imitated from that apostolic person, you are doing new things as a pastor would do it, not as an apostle. Everybody okay? Follow what I'm saying? If it's an evangelist that's leading your group and you are a pastoral person, you start imitating that evangelistic person and you start doing things as that person would do it. And you want to keep doing those things, but when you are at the point of innovating, you are doing those evangelistic things in the way a pastor would do it. You have come to the place of confidence and faith and trust, knowing that Jesus created you a certain way, and you are able then to receive from other people who are created differently something of Jesus you would not receive directly, and move in the fullness of your faith that way. That's how all that weaves together. And it's very important to keep certain distinctions in mind. Some of you, at some point in your church life, may have had a gift survey taken. Did it ever happen at St. Francis? Was there ever a gift survey? There was. Two of you remember taking it. And many gift surveys, maybe you did some somewhere else. Yeah. What a gift survey is, it takes all the gifts mentioned in the New Testament. And it depends on which one it is. Some say there's 27, some say there's 29. You know, but if it's about that many. And you fill out the survey, which one did you do the most? And that would be your gift.